It is over. Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.
Hello, this is Paul Solentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. You're listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today, we have Nick Jones, Director of Player Development for Wichita State Men's Basketball, and Video Coordinator Jeff Chapman. We're going to talk about video and how it's changed, how they're doing their job during the time of pandemic, and most of all, we're going to talk about Nick Jones's Twitter project, where he's been looking back at some Shocker players and breaking down their games. Thank you for listening. Hello, we have Nick Jones, Director of Player Development at Wichita State. He's been on the basketball staff since 2015. And we have Video Coordinator Jeff Chapman, who first came to Wichita State basketball during the 2011-12 season and has worked with video for all of that time while at Wichita State. And in 2019, he became the program's Video Coordinator. Before we get into all the video stuff, though, Jeff Chapman filled another crucial role that has kind of become maybe unreported or overlooked. Jeff, from 2012 to 2016, tell the people your job at halftime of Shocker games.
Basically, I filled in for Coach Marshall's superstition role. He took his jacket off every game. He takes his jacket off still to this day, every time at halftime. But from 12 to 16, Jeff Chapman had to have it in his hands or something was going wrong. So anytime he took it off, he'd hand it to me as he's walking by, or if he didn't see me, he'd hand it to somebody and say, make sure Jeff gets this. So had to hold down the superstition for him.
How did you earn that role? Were there tryouts? How did this happen?
I don't think I earned it. I think I just happened to be somewhere one day, and he handed it to me, and we won the game. So from there on, it just kind of took off. I don't think you kind of earn that. It's just something that happened.
Important job. Those superstitions are a big part of sports. All right. Both of you, give us a quick job description so the fans will have an idea about what you're doing behind the scenes. Nick, tell us about your job.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, this is my fifth year on staff and kind of filled a variety of roles, started as a GA and then was a video coordinator, now director of player development. I think the start off, you know, right now, main responsibility, I think a lot of stuff is kind of head scouting. So, you know, I'm always during the season trying to be, you know, two or three games ahead, you know, whoever we're playing. So going through watching film, probably, you know, four or five games of a future opponent. And then as soon as, you know, that game's, you know, if we play tonight, as soon as that game's over, you know, I have the next game kind of report to kind of give to Coach Marshall and then whatever, you know, assistant who's in charge of that scout, I kind of hand it over to them. So I kind of, the initial scout, I guess you could say. So that's, takes the majority of my time, and then obviously we have a lot of off the court stuff. Each of us, the three assistant coaches, Jeff and myself, are kind of in charge of academics for the guys, working with Gretchen Torlein. We each have two or three guys that we try to stay on top of their books. You know, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you know, Gretchen comes to us and we make sure next time they do what they're supposed to do. So that's kind of the main, I guess, responsibilities for myself.
Jeff Chapman, describe video coordinator for us. Now we lost him all together. Nick, let's keep going and maybe Jeff will join us. Sure. How has video changed over the years, over your time in the profession?
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of involved. It kind of goes back to my days. I was manager at K-State back in 2009, 2010 was my first year. I can remember back then, you know, we had 10 of us managers as well as two GAs and a video coordinator. We each had kind of responsibilities for video. Each night, one of us had to run up to the office, you know, every coach in their office, they had a TV with a DVR and, you know, we recorded every game onto a DVD. So we would have to, you know, as soon as, you know, the 7 o'clock games, we make sure we get there at 6:30 so we could hit record. And then as soon as those games end, stop record, put in the DVD for the next night's game. So every night there was kind of something we had to do. And that kind of probably went on for a couple of years until my last year at K-State. They kind of Synergy Sports, who we use, kind of came up with the server. So that kind of eliminated everything. Everything is now stored, you know, on the cloud system online. So anybody can kind of go on and download. So it makes it a lot more time efficient and a whole lot easier for us. For sure.
Yeah. Explain Synergy Sports a little bit. That's probably something fans hear a lot about. They may not be, you know, totally clear on what all you can get through Synergy.
Yeah. So Synergy is absolutely, you know, it's great. You know, for us, every day, I'm sure, you know, me and Jeff both are always on Synergy. The main thing, kind of what they do, what they start doing, it's just kind of like a video hub. So most, I would say 99% of Division I teams use Synergy. So basically, they, after each game ends, the home team is supposed to go on and upload their game film to Synergy, so it makes it available for all the other teams to download. So it's kind of makes it a whole lot, you know, quicker process rather than, you know, like I said earlier, with the DVDs or even back in the day when they had to mail DVDs or VHS tapes to, you know, different schools. But they've kind of evolved over the years to where now Synergy provides kind of analytics, you know, value to it too. So they kind of go through every game, they break it down each possession, the result, what happened, you know, made two, three, turnover, whatever it may be. So then each game you can kind of go look and see, you know, by the numbers, analytics, and that, you know, adds up over the course of the season. So when we go through, you know, scouting, that's one of the first things I look at. So, you know, we can go look, you know, Fred VanVleet, you know, over the course of, you know, 20 games, whatever it is, you know, he's driven right, you know, 24 times, but he's only driven left, you know, 12 times. So obviously that means he's right-hand dominant. So we can kind of form our scouting reports kind of based off that.
Jeff is back with us. Jeff, video coordinator, tell us a little bit about your job duties.
Basically, I'm just kind of the wheel that gets everything going for video responsibilities. You know, I got the three assistants, Coach Marshall and Nick. I get all the raw for they want, whatever kind of breakdown. Each coach kind of has a different style of breakdown they like of what they want to watch. So I go on Synergy, as Nick was telling you, and I make sure I get everything for each coach, get it the way they like it, convert it so it records quickly, it fast forwards quickly, it rewinds the way they like it. So basically I'm getting everything they need. And then once I go from there, I break down whatever they need help with or whatever Nick needs help with, Isaac Brown, Lou Godino, Tyson Waterman, Coach Marshall, whatever it is. And then on top of that, our own film, what we're doing in practices, games, just basically anything that you can think of film wise goes through me.
Do different coaches have different preferences for how they like, you know, to get this started, for how the video is assembled for them?
Absolutely. Each coach has their very specific ways. They're pretty much set in the ways they want it. And so at first I knew Isaac Brown, I knew like that. I knew exactly what Isaac Brown wanted from my days being with him earlier. So me and him, we've always had that kind of that connection where I came in and I didn't have to worry about him. I had to learn what Coach Godino wanted. I had to learn what Coach Waterman wanted, and Coach Marshall, I knew how he liked everything too. But, you know, he's kind of changed with how he likes stuff too. So it's just keeping up with everything they like, especially with the way the film is changing.
So are you talking about they may like more defensive clips than offensive clips, or longer clips, shorter clips? What's an example of a difference?
It's really hard to explain the differences. It's the way that they want it put together into what the app will use, Sports Code. It's basically just a preference of how they want their information organized for them to view it. It's not really necessarily one wants more defensive, one wants more offensive. It's all game based. It's more how they want it organized and how their workflow is structured is more or less the way each one is different.
I wanted to talk to you too because of the Twitter project you've been putting out on Nick Jones's Twitter. You can follow Nick at Nick_Jones WSU, and he's put out 5 or 6 Twitter sessions on some former Shockers, breaking down what they did well. We had Joe Ragland, Ron Baker, Malcolm Armstead. I saw Rashard Kelly, so several of them. Tell me how that project started.
Sure. You know, it kind of evolved over the last couple of weeks. It kind of started originally, you know, this spring we had just a few, you know, scholarships open. So, and, you know, obviously with this virus going on, we couldn't quite bring the guys on campus. We can't do our normal, you know, kind of recruiting, you know, visit and whatnot. So one of the things, you know, we try to do is obviously use film to our advantage. So whether it is, you know, our history, we've had a lot of guys, you know, Ron, Fred, Landry, Clay Anthony, who played in the NBA. So we kind of went through just to see, you know, how when they were at Wichita State, okay, these are the things they did well. This is what they excelled at. And kind of clipped up those things and sent them to recruits in similar positions. So we sent Fred, Landry to, you know, point guards we were recruiting. Just to try to show them, hey, you know, this is, you know, how guys have had success in the past year. This is kind of our style of play. This is kind of what we look for. But we think, you know, your skill set that you can bring can add, you know, just as much value, if not even more, than kind of what, you know, those guys before them. So, and of course, it always looks good, you know, showing, you know, film of NBA guys to recruits, you know. But so it kind of started that way and then just kind of evolved. You know, I kind of went back and started watching more game film. You know, certain guys maybe I hadn't seen him before my time here at Wichita State. And as, you know, in that process, just watching certain games, I just saw a lot of, you know, certain patterns or certain things about certain guys that I just kind of started to highlight. So, you know, it's, those are coaches and they liked it, you know, they could send it out. But then I thought, you know, why not, if we're making these, you know, we can put them out, you know, on Twitter just to show, you know, our brand, show coaches, you know, system, philosophy. And, you know, it's something, you know, I think the fans would love too. So, you know, whatever we can do to kind of, you know, add the most value is kind of what we look for.
Any of them most enjoyable, surprising? What did you learn? Which one stood out in that way?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of guys, probably before my time here in 2015, that kind of stuck out the most to me, maybe because I haven't seen as much of them. Obviously, Joe Ragland, you know, the numbers he put up his senior year were absolutely incredible. Just, you know, he was led the nation in true shooting percentage, and his offensive rating was one of the highest that we've had here. But, you know, there's other guys that, you know, you might not think, they might not come to your head, you know, right away, but I thought, you know, he may, in that Final Four run, was pretty big. Just, you know, such a big body, just protecting the rim. I mean, he might not blocked, you know, all the shots, but just having that, you know, 7-foot presence around the rim, I mean, that he altered a lot of shots. So I think, you know, he played a, you know, huge value. Obviously, Ron, Fred, Landry, you go on and on about those guys. But another guy, I'd say Carl Hall, just, you know, only being, I think he was maybe 6'7", 6'8", you know, most. And he had a guard, Steven Adams. He had a guard, you know, Kelly Olynyk. He had a guard, guys that played, ended up playing in the NBA. And I thought he held his own. And then he, you know, was one of the, you know, better players in that run. So I was really impressed with kind of those guys, I guess, before my time here.
I really enjoy talking about Joe Ragland because he did have such a great senior year, and it kind of gets overlooked because of, you know, it was before the Final Four and before a lot of the things that happened after that. And Jeff, you were around for Joe. What kind of improvement did you see over in him over his career, and what made him have such a great senior season?
I was around for Joe watching as a fan, but just his day. Half of his senior years when I was getting involved, he took off. You know, he's just like a typical Coach Marshall JUCO guy. Their first year is always a little rough. They're still figuring it out, but that second year, they take off. Carl Hall, Ben Smith, Joe Ragland, all these JUCO guys, they figure out the system, and it's Coach tailors it to these guys to be successful. And Joe just had confidence. That's the one thing, is every day Joe and Malcolm were going at each other in the practice gym that year. They did not want to leave the court until they were the winners. And that was invaluable for Joe. And Joe just had this different level of confidence, this different demeanor than everybody out on the court. He knew he was going to get his job done. He knew what he was going to do, what he was there for, how he was going to do it. And he was going to bring everybody with him. And that's something that's, it's hard to coach if you don't have it. And Joe just, he had it. He's just a winner. He had that winning mentality. And it developed from the day he got on here, just more and more confidence each day.
I'd like to request a Tre Murray clip breakdown. I think he was interesting from the standpoint he did so many different things and wasn't, I don't know that he was great at anything. Maybe defense would have been his, maybe his top attribute, but he was really good at a lot of different things, seemed to fill in a lot of different cracks. So have you looked into Trey much?
You know, I have. I haven't watched as much film, back in that time yet, but kind of the coaches that were here at that time I've talked to, they raved about him. Obviously, what you said is versatility. I mean, he could play multiple positions. You know, he was 2-3, it sounded like, was kind of his true, position. But, he brought the ball up sometimes. He had to be the point guard. And, I think he could guard multiple possessions too. So that's kind of one player for sure I'm definitely looking forward to diving
into. Yeah, I put in a pitch for that. I really enjoyed watching him play, and he was obviously a really important part of that NIT championship game, and then the next season going to the NCAA tournament. Video work, we talked a little bit earlier about how it's changed during this time when people are, during the pandemic. How's it changed, and do you see it changing more, when we come out of this? Is this going to have any lasting effect on what you two do?
Yeah.
I don't.
Go ahead, Jeff. You got it.
You got it.
I was going to say, for us, I think it just shows how important it really is. And I don't, with the pandemic, obviously, it's kind of one of the main things that we can do since we can't get in front of recruits or, they can't come on campus. So you got to use it to your advantage. So I think, a lot more schools are investing in it. For us, I think it's always kind of been something we've utilized pretty heavily. When we start the recruiting process with someone, we're always probably, myself, I'll probably watch, two or three games on the kid. Jeff will probably watch two or three games. The assistant coach is ever, recruiting him, is going to watch two or three games. So all in all, you probably have four or five people that are watching a total of maybe 10 games. So you have a good idea of kind of the kid, who you're recruiting, certain things, obviously aspects of his game. And then we kind of, give that to Coach Marshall. It kind of filters up to him. But I think, it could change it. I just, during this time, I think you just kind of utilize it even more than kind of what maybe we had.
Jeff, how do you see it changing?
To add to that, I think mostly what we've seen from this is that you have to have the ability to be able to work remotely. We have to be able to have a way to get this information, get all this video to where it needs to be if we can't get in office, and investing in ways to make that happen. I think that's how it's going to change mostly. We're going to be able to do more with the video, because we see now that being able to get it out, get it to where it needs to be, not just in our hands in the office, is extremely important.
What is the balancing act between breaking down a recruit on video and the need to see them in person and get those observations?
I think there's certain things, you can watch, whether it's JUCO video or the kids from high school, a lot of the times the, high school film, they're not going to show kids, during timeouts, or, as soon as the ball, is dead, it goes out of bounds, they usually stop it and kind of go, they start it again once play resumed. So, you can learn a lot, obviously, by, the kid on the court when you watch film. I think the biggest thing is, seeing what he does, during timeouts. How does he react when his coach is talking to him, his coach is on him, he could be yelling at him, whatever it is. What's his body language like? How does he react? Or maybe, towards the end of the game when, adversity hits, they're down by, five or six, how does he react? Does he keep playing hard, or does he kind of give in? So I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, seeing them in person is huge. I think most of our recruiting isn't video first. Most of it is saw him in person. Let's break down video. Or the only time it's really video first is if a coach calls, let's say Coach Godino has a friend that knows a guy in South Indiana, and he's like, hey, you need to check out this guy. That's when we get film first before they've seen him. Then if they look good, because one thing about film is that I could go out right now with a ball and a camera and make Nick look like a D1 recruit in a highlight video. So you got to go game video. Those highlight films, these kids want to send out all these highlight films. Yeah, they're great and dandy. You can show your athleticism. You can show you shoot the ball. But nobody's putting stock in the highlight videos. It's all game film. It's film, game film, game film. You can't hide your true identity in a game. You can hide your true identity of what kind of player you are in a highlight video that's clipped up and edited 1,000 times. So I think it's more see the kid first, then breakdown video, unless you're giving the kid off hearsay, and then we find out if he's worth going to see. That's how I think it is.
Tell me if I'm right on this. I'm always suspicious of highlight videos that feature a lot of breakaway layups and dunks, because that seems to have little relation to what a real basketball game is like. Does that ever run through your brains? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think obviously if a kid has some athleticism, he can get up and dunk it. You know, that's great. But as far as that's definitely not the first thing we look for. I mean, I feel like that's just kind of like an add-on. You know, we want to know really, okay, what do you – you know, how can you score in many different ways? You know, are you a three-level scorer? I mean, can you defend? I mean, that's probably the number one thing coach looks at. He wants you to be able to defend and rebound the ball. I mean, and then, so I think, yeah, those highlight videos just make you look good, make you like you're a freak athlete. Those are great and all, but that's not what we look for.
I can understand. All right, let's wrap it up. I've got three rapid-fire questions, so I'm going to throw these at you guys, and you just fire back with your first impression. Favorite Shocker victory during your time?
Go ahead, Jeff. You got it.
Okay. It's hard for me to pick. That Final Four run, each game was more important and was a huge victory. But I'd say early on in that season, that Final Four year, at VCU was a huge win. It was one of the best feelings I've ever had as somebody in this program. And then it's hard for me to pick against Gonzaga. I mean, that game, those 9 possessions at the end, I've never seen a game played like that. I've never felt the energy I've felt in a game like that. So it's really hard for me to beat that Gonzaga game.
Were you on the staff or were you up in the stands for that Gonzaga game, Jeff?
I was right behind the bench in the stands.
Okay. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Nick.
No, I would have to say there's a couple that come to mind. I think my first year at Arizona NCAA tournament was awesome. But I think my favorite one was probably at Indiana last year in the NIT. I think just the history of that building and then just seeing like our team, how far we've had to come from the start of the season to the end of the season, just it meant a lot to the guys. And I'll never forget that, you know, celebration in the locker room after that win.
Jeff, I'm glad you value that VC win as I do. Kellen Marshall and I kind of disagreed. He does not value it as much as I do, and I always thought that was just a huge, monumental part of that season. Okay, next question. Favorite advice or saying that you hear a lot from Greg Marshall?
I actually didn't hear the question. You cut out on me.
Favorite advice or Greg Marshall saying?
My favorite saying is there's always more time than you think. That's my favorite Greg Marshall saying. And it's not to me, it's the players, but when you first in basketball and that clock's running down, you're always rushed. You always think you got to get it off. And more times than not, you see kids putting up shots with way too much time because they don't get it in. You don't really realize that there is more time than you think once you slow the game down. And I think that's one thing that it took me a minute to realize, but it's absolutely true. And when kids take shots in the NCAA tournament, I'm sitting there watching, I'm at home on my couch when I'm watching them. I'm like, there's always more time than you think. There's more time than you think.
Fred VanVleet is probably the living, breathing, walking embodiment of that statement. Would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, he totally
listened and he took it right. So Malcolm was too.
I'd say I think Coach always says, you know, don't let good be the enemy of great. You know, don't settle. Always try to, you know, give it your best, give it your all, especially when you're on the court.
That's a good one. What is your reply when people ask you to describe Fred VanVleet's basketball IQ?
I tell him that I've never seen anything like it. I tell him he saw the game in a different dimension than everybody else did. He was above everybody, kind of being the puppet master. That's how I tell him I saw it.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, I think, you know, he knew, obviously, the system, the ins and outs, his position, but he knew, you know, 1 through 5. He knew what exactly every other one of his teammates around the court, where they were going to be, where they're going to go. So he was beyond his years for sure. And, you know, it really is no surprise to see him have the success that, you know, he's having right now.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.